Broadcast Studios, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
You are listening to ABQ Connect. I'm Jim. Thanks for joining us today. We're joined today in studio by Sarah Crutchfield. She's the owner and founder of High Desert Hospice, along with Chaplain Jim Meyer. Thank you guys for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Great to be here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hey, you have a big job. I hope that there's a lot of our listeners today that have questions about hospice care, because I think it means something different than most of us kind of assume it means.
It does.
And it has connotations that are not necessarily positive, and everything you guys tell me in our past meetings together is really positive, really uplifting. It's a service that a lot of people need to take advantage of. So, Sarah, let's talk about High Desert Hospice and who you guys are and what you do.
So we're actually one of the last family-owned and operated businesses here in Albuquerque that service the hospice population. I started hospice here about 5.5 years ago. We're almost at our six-year anniversary, so that's a big deal for us. But I've been in hospice for 20 years, and one of the things that we have seen over the years is it's become more and more commercial. And to me, that is so not what hospice is. Mm. It's supposed to be intimate. It's supposed to be one-on-one. It's supposed to be gentle and loving. Not, oh, well, you're on hospice with a big company. You can't have this. You can't have that. That costs too much, and I'm sorry. And we just don't believe in that philosophy. And a lot of people feel or have the stigma of what hospice was probably 30, 40 years ago, when somebody was on hospice for maybe a week, 10 days at most, if you were lucky. But hospice has evolved so much over the years, it's not like that anymore. As long as a person meets criteria to be admitted onto hospice and they continue to have a marked decline, they will continue to qualify for hospice services. So it's not just for a month or two. And we have a circle of care, which is so nice because it's continuity. You have a team of people that care for your loved one, the same nurse, the same CNA, the same chaplain, the same social worker. Our medical director has been with us for 5 years, and I just couldn't imagine doing this without her. And she also is from Raton, New Mexico. Her name's Dr. Lisa Stolarczyk, and I just couldn't pick a better partner, honestly.
Well, it sounds like you got a neat team. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. Want to introduce everybody to Jim Meyer. He's a chaplain with High Desert Hospice. Jim, you've been involved in ministry a really long time. Tell us about the chaplaincy, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more in the second half of the program.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've been in full-time ministry for 20-plus years. I've been with High Desert Hospice just going on, I guess, just a little bit over 8 months, so creeping up on a year. Love it. It's been a tremendous blessing for me. First of all, just to lay this out there, this is my first experience with a hospice organization. But one of the things, just to brag a little bit on High Desert coming in, one of the things I realized right up front was the level of passion and care everybody on our staff has for their people. Whatever discipline that might be, nursing, social work, chaplain, CNA, and all the way down to our administrative team. And that was very, heartening for me. Is that a word? Did I just invent a word on radio?
You did.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, you guys can use that out there. Just saying.
Good.
But it's been great, getting to see how the team functions. The chaplaincy, we have a team of 5 full-time chaplains now. And we're really, you know, you can think kind of along the pastoral lines. We're there for spiritual support. But really, we do so much more than that. We're there just for companionship. We're there to build a relationship, to see people, just through the process they're in, whatever that might be. Maybe it's the grieving process, you know, one of the stages of grief, or maybe, you know, maybe it's just, they just want to get together and talk about the weather or talk about their life or family and their loved ones. But so the chaplaincy kind of encompasses all those things, and we just build relationship. Of course, we're always willing and ready to have those spiritual conversations when people want to do that. And, we've got a great team that's really well prepared, to minister in any way they can.
I want to make sure our listeners know that if you have a question for Sarah or Jim this afternoon, they are both with High Desert Hospice, but we're talking about the concept and the things that we don't know and we need to take advantage of. And I've got some specific questions about, I told you earlier before we started, I'm hoping my parents are listening to this, because I have some elderly parents. They're having issues with getting old, and they're you know, struggling in some areas, but I love them. I want to take care of them. And frankly, they just won't let me. Or my sisters. So we're going to have some specific questions that we ask about. But if you want to call and talk with Sarah or talk with Jim this afternoon, please give us a call at 505-338-5790. I've offered this in the past when we've had you on, and a lot of people are not really open about talking about this subject. So not anticipating a lot of callers, but I do want to make it available. You guys have such a gentle spirit and a way that you share things. We really need to start the program, Sarah, though, by talking about COVID, because our elderly population is really susceptible to not only catching it, but having a difficult time fighting it. So tell us about how that's affecting what you're doing in your work.
Absolutely. But one of the things that staff wanted me to say, if we did actually get the opportunity to discuss COVID, is wearing a mask. So many people have controversial opinions about it. And really, you have to think about it. It's compassionate. It's the right thing to do. And you're doing it not only to protect yourself, but to protect your loved ones. I have grandbabies. I don't want my children to get sick. I don't want my parents to get sick. And with the population that we care for, we're in and out of hospitals. We're in and out of facilities. I don't want to catch something and give it to them. So wearing a mask is a very simple thing to do that protects us all, especially, you know, people say, oh, it's just important for frontline. Anymore, all of us are frontline. We're all out in the community getting gas, buying food, running errands for our loved ones that are homebound. And it's just the right thing to do. So please, please, please protect yourself, protect your loved ones, and wear the mask.
Well, of course, there's people arguing that the masks don't do a lot. I personally, everywhere I go on this campus except in the studio, I have been wearing a mask. By the way, should I put my mask on? I'm happy to do that if you want me to. You guys have your masks on. I typically don't do it outside of this room. I typically have my mask on. And that's kind of a rule on the campus of Calvary Albuquerque. Our entire staff is wearing masks.
Right.
And I don't know about the science. You would know a lot more about that than I do. But I like to do it because I think it blesses the people around you. And if it does help, I don't think it does any harm.
It doesn't do any harm. And it's just, you know, it's just common courtesy. And it's if it protects one person out of 10, then we're doing a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it's about, is just being compassionate about everybody out there.
Well, I mentioned my elderly parents. I wear a mask with them. They wear masks. You know, we're at the same time, and I know you're a person of faith, Sarah, we're not really living in, we don't want to have an attitude of fear.
No.
We just want to bless other people. We want to encourage other people, and wearing a mask seems to be a pretty good way to start that whole conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And COVID has had such a profound impact on our population. And, you know, it's devastating for family members not to have that one-on-one contact. You know, I'm socially distancing myself from my parents who are elderly, who are not in the, or at least my mother isn't in the best health. But it just, when you can't touch them, when you can't hug them and get on that one-to-one level and just be there for them, it tends to take a toll. Our patients are experiencing more depression. They feel withdrawn. And that's why it's so important that our chaplain team is out there and reaching out to them because they need it.
They're so some of your clients, if they are feeling down, they can just call Jim?
Anytime.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know Jim well, but you know, this guy has a heart of gold.
He
does. I've talked to him three or four times and very easy to talk with, and nothing coming out of his mouth is going to be judgmental, or you're not going to be forcing anything down anybody's throat.
I certainly hope that's the case. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I can tell you, and I've said this before, not necessarily with you guys, but to other people. I remember when I first, you know, asked God to take over my life and made Jesus Lord of my life. And I went out and shared the gospel with the three spiritual law tracts. And, you know, I'd get in people's face and share what I thought. And if they didn't immediately agree with me, then I ended that relationship and went on to the next one. Well, I'm embarrassed to tell you that. That's not the way to do ministry. That doesn't have anything to do with loving and caring for people. But that's kind of what we did or at least what I did a long time ago. And so the road and the maturity and learning how to care and love people no matter where they're at, obviously you guys do a good job of that.
Well, and it's so much of meeting them where they're at in their journey. This isn't our journey. This is the patient's journey, and it's their family's journey. And it's our job to get them there. We have to meet them where they're at and offer them support and guidance and help them make the hard decisions. We always say that the two of the hardest things that a family ever has to do, one is placement of their loved one, and the second is hospice. Because so many people feel that it's the H word. I'm giving up the ghost. It's over. I can't do anything else. And that's so not what hospice means. It's meeting them where they're at, making sure they're as independent as they possibly can be for as long as they can be. And it's not about taking things away. It's about giving them more options. And, you know, with our cancer patients, with our COPD patients, with our kidney failure patients, our heart failure patients, you know, they're still here. Mm-hmm. They still have a lot of life left in them and a lot of gifts that they can share. It does not mean that it's over for them. It just means that they're taking a different path. Instead of being aggressive with every treatment that they're doing, it's okay, this is where I'm at in my disease process, and there's not a whole lot more that they can do for me, but I want to live a comfortable lifestyle, and I want to be there, and I want to be as engaging as I can be for as long as I can be with my family. I've got some unfinished business that I need to take care of. That's where the chaplain comes in. That's where the social worker comes in. And that's what we mean by we meet them where they're at, and it's our job to get them there.
So, Sarah, let me give you a scenario. I know some folks live here locally, and one of my close friends is an 80-year-old man, and he's taking care of his wife who has advanced Alzheimer's. Outside, I'm looking at him being physically exhausted because he's with her 24/7 trying to take care of everything she needs to do. He needs to get out and throw a line in the water and, you know, he needs to go work out and take a walk. And these are not things that she might be physically capable, but she's not really interested in doing those. And she's very kind and very nice. How does he find out about your services, and when should that start? And just kind of, I don't know if you can answer that hypothetically.
There is never a right or wrong time to talk about hospice. And one of the things that we do, not every referral that comes through the door is appropriate for hospice. But we go out there, we do an evaluation, we talk about the benefits, weigh the risks of what they are going to get versus, you know, are you ready to not give or to give up for the aggressive treatment? With Alzheimer's, well, unfortunately, it's just going to continue to progress. There is no reversing it. And once they get to a certain stage, it unfortunately tends to really go downhill very quickly. And so it's never a bad thing to say, hey, can you just come out and talk to us? I'm not real sure about what hospice means. I want to keep my primary care physician, but I know you have a medical director. So we go into that. We talk about the pros and the cons, you know, and maybe she's not there quite yet. So we'll check back with them in a month and say, hey, how are things going? Has there been any changes? What is she doing now? And we kind of keep a tickler file on those patients and we watch them. And then when they're ready, it's not a stranger coming into their home because we've already talked to them. Mm-hmm. They've already built the relationship. They have the trust. So it's an easy transition for them. So it's never too early to call and ask for information.
We have Sarah Crutchfield. She's the owner and founder of High Desert Hospice and Studio, along with one of her chaplains, Jim Meyer. He kind of keeps track of all these chaplains, and we're going to come back and talk with them a little bit more about this. If you have calls, if you have interest in calling, please give us a ring at 505-338-5790. These two can answer your questions, even if you don't use High Desert Hospice. They're going to tell you the facts and the truth. And I trust them. I hope you will, too. Lots more information coming your way. Stay with us.
Here's Ava, the owner of Monroe's.
Dad, I think we're in deep doo-doo.
Is that why everyone keeps buying all the toilet paper?
Actually, New Mexico culture is rich. Plus, Monroe's has red chili, green chili, and the best customers in the world to go with it.
Boy, Dad, you must really love our customers.
I sure do, just like I love you, Stella.
Hey, what about me?
Of course you too, Ava.
Treat yourself to a delicious Monroe's meal. See Monroe's menu at monroeschili.com. Then call in your order to Monroe's on Osuna at 881-4224 or Monroe's downtown at 242-1111 for carryout or free delivery.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. You have heard a word a lot here of late, and that word is essential. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, our master certified technicians understand that your car, truck, or SUV is essential to getting you from point A to point B. We are open for business. Our hours are 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. And don't forget that we have free towing with repairs. Just call for details. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. We are located on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's in Rio Rancho. And I'm here to tell you that the most essential thing in this life is the cross of Jesus. There is absolutely nothing more important to you and I. God saw you as essential and gave his only begotten Son that you would believe in him and have eternal life. Never minimize the cross. It's the centerpiece of the gospel, and never forget the hope you and I have in the empty tomb. I'm John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive.
The future of car buying is here at PetriePressGo.com. From fingertips to driveway, PetriePressGo.com is the easy and safe way to buy or lease from the comfort of home. Browse thousands of new and pre-owned vehicles. Click. View pricing, instant trade-in offers, real-time loan approvals, and more. Buy completely online without ever visiting our dealership. At your pace, from home, with doorstep delivery. Get started now at PetriePressGo.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Chaplain Jim Meyer and owner Sarah Crutchfield with High Desert Hospice in studio with us today. Sarah, if our listeners are interested in finding out about hospice, there's no obligation.
No, absolutely not.
Tell us
not.
How they get in touch with you.
So you can either go to our website, which is www.highdeserthospice.care. You can call the office at 505-585-2603 and reach out to us. We have a Facebook page. We get lots of interesting questions. And if you go to our website, it kind of goes through some of the myths about hospice, things like that. And it kind of breaks the ice a little bit before they call. But we are always more than happy to come out and speak with families anytime.
I want to go to Jim now. I'm intrigued by, as part of the service, you have this chaplaincy, and you basically have people that your job is to just care for people spiritually, emotionally, be a friend, neat ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got into this. I'm basically a story guy. I love hearing people's stories. I have patients that have led some of the most interesting lives that you could ever imagine. I have one gentleman that I would, I guess, affectionately refer to as Forrest Gump. You know, I mean, this guy has been everywhere, done everything, and he's, you know, he's in his late 90s. And you can just see the sparkle in his eyes. And I tell him all the time, it's like, you know, you're what I want to be when I grow up, you know. And then you have patients that are kind of on the other side of life, you know, people that maybe going through rifts with their families and things like that, or from just from every socioeconomic status. You know, our population is as diverse as the population of New Mexico. So you have people of all kinds of different faith backgrounds. You have people of no faith backgrounds. And our job is to get in there and just love them well. I will tell you that the Lord has probably shown me more about myself and who he is by learning to love people that are different than I am. It's been a great experience. It's been a exercise in humility at times. But to see these people and to have a voice in their lives when a lot of people have forgotten them, in some cases. And especially right now, it's difficult because, you know, referring to the whole COVID thing, we don't get to have those face-to-face contacts right now. And so Sarah mentioned that these people are feeling withdrawn. Some are feeling outright abandoned. And you think of your Alzheimer's patient, maybe end-stage Alzheimer's, dementia, you know, somebody shows up at a window with a mask on, that can be more anxiety producing than comforting, right? So we're kind of going through that, and this, you know, our whole scenario is changing. Sometimes it seems hourly, but daily and weekly, you know, by whatever's coming down through the Department of Health and things like that. So, but it's been a tremendous blessing, I will say, to do this type of ministry.
Yeah. Sarah, you mentioned your background, 20 years in hospice care. Mm-hmm. What led you to that? I mean, you could have gone into a lot of other medical type care.
I could have, yes. But my, a girlfriend who is a nurse, and she's like, Sarah, you're just not being fulfilled in the different areas that you're working in. And I said, no, I'm not. And, you know, I've done respiratory therapy. I've worked critical care. I've done, you know, worked with peds, worked with the geriatric population. I've been on the transplant team, worked with end-stage dialysis patients. And, you know, one of the things that just kept pulling at my heart was there's got to be a better way than what we're doing it. There's got to be something different and better out there. And she said, you belong in hospice. So I started in hospice, and I have not looked back since. And it's probably the most fulfilling medicine that I've ever done. There's just, it's an incredible honor to be able to care for these families and walk that path with them. And, you know, when we first started, we, you know, 3 employees, 5 patients, and we've grown our census, you know, astronomically, and we have 70 employees that we look after. And it's still, I still get the same amount of joy from day one as I do today. And if I'm there when they take their last breath, it's just an incredible honor to be able to experience that and be there for them. And it just, it's fulfilling.
Sarah, how expensive is hospice?
Hospice doesn't cost you a penny. It does not cost you anything. And believe it or not, we do have charitable care cases. We take people regardless of their ability to pay. But Medicare pays 100% for hospice. Doesn't matter if you have a senior plan or just straight Medicare. It is the only benefit that reverts back to straight Medicare. It is the most underutilized benefit that Medicare offers. And people just aren't taking advantage of it as they should. You've paid into it your entire life. You might as well take advantage of it.
So your process kind of helps people identify. You qualify for this. It's not going to cost you anything. Mm-hmm. And they need to call you.
Exactly. And a lot of people think that once they come onto hospice, well, you're going to stop all my medications and you just want me to die quickly and you're just going to put morphine on and that's going to be the end of it, right? No, that's not right. We continue all of the medications. We stop them when it's time to stop them. We don't make the decisions. We make them as a care team with the family. It is ultimately their journey, not mine. And so we kind of go through that. But hospice pays for all durable medical equipment, so bed, wheelchair, walker, bedside commode, over the bedside table. It pays for all incontinence supplies, briefs, wipes, chucks, gloves, right down to butt paste, if you will. Everything is free. We pay for medications related to the diagnosis and medications for comfort. And they get delivered to your door. So how much more convenient could that be?
So people that are going into the hospital all the time,
mm-hmm.
and they're really being told there's not a lot more we can do. You know, focus on a quality of life, focus on this and that. You guys are going to enable that. You're going to continue caring for them.
Yes.
But they're turning over that care to you.
That's correct.
And that sounds like a good plan, and that's done in their homes.
Correct. Wherever they hang their hat. So we have clients everywhere, in assisted livings, in private homes, retirement communities, multi-generational home living situations. Wherever they call home is where we go.
Yeah. And your team, tell us a little bit about your team.
Well, I wouldn't be here today without my team. You know, we have an amazing administrative staff, which is all family. My daughter is my right-hand lady. Michelle Martin is, she's not my sister by blood, but I sure do claim her as one. And she's our facility manager. Kimberly Summers is our director of nursing, and she is my bestest best friend. And our families are very intertwined. And Cynthia, same thing. She's my assistant director of nursing. Jim is over pastoral care. Lindsay Moore is my social worker, who's over all the social workers. I can't forget my son-in-law, Jeremiah Martin, and he handles most things in the back of the house, if you will. So we're very, when we say let our family take care of yours, we actually do. It is our family.
Well, you have a unique approach. You mentioned, I know you're not going to ever say anything negative about any other companies.
Never.
But you did mention that your personal approach and your non-corporate approach, could mm-hmm. I say that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, has a lot more personality to it.
Yes.
Kind of elaborate that on that a little bit more.
And again, every hospice has their niche, so I'm not going to say anything negative about anybody, but everybody has their specialty. I would say that it doesn't hurt to interview hospice companies. And what we do is, you know, I've paid, not that it's something that all hospice companies don't do, but we've helped families provide food for them. We have a food bank at the office. We'll go get groceries. We've helped patients get lift chairs. We've replaced air conditioners. you name it, we've done it. Yard work, cleaning in the house. Because we have a whole family of people that are willing to do what it takes to get these people taken care of. Mm. And again, it's at no cost to them.
I told you earlier that I'm hoping my parents are listening. I don't know if they need hospice or anything, but I want them to be aware that they can at least get the information. And I want to address something that doesn't really have to do with hospice, but the reason I want my parents to be listening is myself and my siblings, I have three younger sisters, we have wanted to be available to them every day, bring them food, do this, do that, without even being asked. We don't need to be asked. We're just going to be there.
Right.
And frankly, we don't view any of it as a burden. You know, they're our parents. We're going to just be there and take care of them. I can't get them to let me help them.
Right.
Sarah, you got some advice?
I do. but advice is a bitter drink sometimes because I have to drink it myself. As I told you, my mother is not doing very well, and it's just encouragement. And, you know, I want you to be as independent as you can be, but these are the parameters in which we need to work with. You know, you can't do this as well anymore, so why don't we get you a little bit of assistance to keep you independent? And they're hanging on to that independence with every fiber of their being because they don't want to lose it. Because if they admit that they need help, then that means that they're not as strong as what they were. And that means that they're actually getting older and declining, and that's part of life. But it is, you know, it's a role switch, if you will. And it doesn't always taste very good when you have to do that.
Yeah. Well, I know that we love our parents. We want to take care of them. And I really appreciate you guys being available. Again, one more time, Sarah, you're going to have to leave us. We're going to have Jim Meyer
Correct.
With us one more segment. But tell us one more time how people can get in touch with you and get the free information and free evaluation.
Absolutely. They can call the office at 505-585-2603. Also, we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you are struggling on the weekend, don't think that you can't call us because we answer 24/7. But you can also go to our website, which is highdeserthospice.care. And there's a lot of helpful information on there. We do work with many community partners. So if we can't help you, we will certainly put you in contact with those that can. Say that you're not quite ready for hospice, but you need to be connected with somebody that provides care in their home. We can help you with that. Say that she's still, you know, my mom, you know, needs somebody that looks after 24/7, but I still have kids at home. I still have to take them to practice. She needs an assisted living, but she's not ready for your services yet. Can you help me? Absolutely. We have many community partners that we work well with in the community. We want to be a resource. We want to be a value to the community.
Sarah, thanks for joining us today on ABQ Connect. Sarah Crutchfield is the owner and founder of High Desert Hospice, and we'll hopefully look forward to talking to you in another 3 or 4 weeks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us.
Stay with us. Jim Meyer, the chaplain of High Desert Hospice, or one of the chaplains, will be staying with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president owner of Indigo Mortgage. In the society we're in today, COVID-19 is on the top of all of our minds, and rightly so. But we can also look at the bright side of life, like God still loves us and He loves our families, along with giving us an opportunity like no other to spend time together without the busyness of life. At Indigo Mortgage, we believe in helping families, and we're blessed to be considered an essential business by the government. So we are able to continue helping clients and their families, either by refinancing to a better rate or by helping fulfill their new home purchase. Although we cannot meet face-to-face, we have a full staff available by phone, email, or you can complete an application on our website. Indigo Mortgage is honored to be part of this community, and we're here to help. Contact Indigo Mortgage today, 836-5700. That's 836-5700, or on the net at indigomortgage.net. NMLS 23-1962 and 188-348, and may God bless you.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
Are you having a craving for authentic and delicious New Mexican cuisine? Sadie's On Academy is offering phone-in, curbside pickup, and online ordering with menu items like their shredded beef brisket tacos, Brian's carne adobada ribs, sopapilla sliders, and more. Don't forget to pick up their famous Sadie's chips and salsa, located at 5400 Academy Road Northeast. Orders can be placed at 505-821-3388. That's 505-821-3388.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
That was nice for Sarah Crutchfield, the owner of High Desert Hospice, to spend our first section today talking about hospice care. Again, I want to emphasize to everybody, look, it's not going to cost you anything to find out about hospice care. And it's got some connotations that really I don't think are there. Jim Meyer, he is a chaplain with High Desert Hospice, is in studio with us. Jim has been involved in Christian ministry for a really long time. But Jim, I appreciate your heart because you are available to anyone regardless of their faith position or
absolutely
any of those things. And you're loving on them and caring for them, and so there is no prerequisite for any of that, right?
Right, absolutely, absolutely. So we tell a lot of our patients that come on when they're considering coming on service, and we tell them, you know, we have a chaplain program. You know, a lot of people hear that word chaplain. You know, there's all this connotation, just like there is with the word hospice. People think, oh, great, this guy's going to try and come in and convert me, or they're going to try to talk to me about heaven, hell, theology, whatever the case is. And really, we just want to come in. And like Sarah referred to it as a journey, we want to help them on that journey, whatever that might mean for them. So really, the way we care for them is kind of up to them and their family.
Jim, in your conversations with people, what do you think elder parents, elderly people in, you know, the end of life kinds of things? And when I say end of life, I mean, that could be 2 years from now. I don't know, or longer. Mm-hmm. What do they want?
You know, I think just kind of in my limited experience, I think people want to know that they made a difference. People want to know that there's this sense of legacy that they're leaving, you know. And so a lot of times when we talk to them, we'll actually do what we call a life review. We'll just get to know them, and we'll kind of focus on some accomplishments and maybe talk about family and kids and grandkids. And if there's maybe on a... If there's rifts in the family, maybe their family picture isn't all that hopeful for them. We can work on those things too. You know, we talk a lot about and work with people that want to reconcile relationships, or, you know, letting go of bitterness. You know, really things we all struggle with at whatever age we are, right? It doesn't just mean at the end of life, but that's when these things kind of come to the forefront, you know. And
there's some urgency, though.
There is. Life, absolutely.
Life could end at any time for
absolutely
a lot of people. And you know, that could even happen to us.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I lost a really close friend of mine, 61 years of age, last September.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really told him how much I appreciated him.
Yeah.
So I dedicated a segment of this show to tell everybody else. I wish I'd have told him.
Right.
And, you know, we all think, okay, people are in heaven or looking down upon us and can hear everything. Well, I don't know if they can hear what they're saying.
Right.
So I'm going to say this to everybody that's listening. If you care about somebody, if somebody has spoken into your life, especially your parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, this one was written on the stone tablet, honor your father and mother.
Right.
Make sure they know now. I don't care if they're healthy as a horse or they're near end of life. They need to know how much you appreciate
Absolutely.
What they did in your life.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad passed away when he was 59 years old, and he was very healthy up until that point. You know, he had a heart attack situation and didn't survive it. And it was kind of those same things. You know, I was in my early 20s, and, you know, there was a lot of things that I wish that I would have said to him or had the opportunity to do and things like that. So it really is an important message for all of us. And, you know, where hospice is concerned, you know, sometimes the most loving thing we can do is start to explore those possibilities to provide that dignified quality of life for people maybe nearing the end of their time here on this side of eternity, you know.
Jim, in your experience, what does the general population not understand about hospice?
Well, that's a great question. And I can kind of tell you what some of my misconceptions were coming into the field myself was that, you know, as soon as they get a call to go see somebody, it's going to be their last day or their last few hours, you know, and the family's going to be gathered around the bedside and all these things. Well, that may be true in some sense, but it's very rare that that's actually the case. We have people on our service that they may be with us only a few days or weeks, but generally those are the people that have waited so long to get on service. But then we've got people that are on service for a greater lengths of time, maybe over a year even in some cases. And so I think people just hear that word hospice like you and Sarah were talking about, and they think, I'm giving up, the end is near, I'm saying goodbye to independence, and those things couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, I would say that their relationships get stronger. I mean, and as they go through, you know, the kind of the, I don't know, the grief or whatever they're going through, that transition of life where they're kind of coming to a realization of, you know, this is a time I need to think about this. We see that, that those things are strengthened, that they're more at peace. And that's really our goal, is just to walk through this journey to make sure they're, I guess, you know, coping adequately, is one of the phrases we use, you know, but that they feel strengthened, that they feel loved, that they feel well cared for. And that's one of the things we take pride in our organization, is loving people well wherever they're at, you know, no matter what background they come from. You know, like I said before, no matter what faith, if any faith, you know, and of course we pray with most of our patients, and we pray for all of them, you know, so just walking through that with them.
You probably have some opportunity to talk and pray with the families too, apart from people that are in your service.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great point. You know, we've talked a little bit about this COVID and how it's affected our patient contact. One of the things I've seen personally is just we've had more in-depth discussions with family now than we ever have. You know, back in January, February, you know, I'd give a family member a call and say, hey, just want to let you know, I just visited, you know, your father, your mother, your loved one, wife's husband or whatever. And, you know, they would chit chat for a little bit, or maybe you'd leave a message and maybe you'd get a call back. Right. But fast forward to now, I mean, I'm getting answers from the phone right off the bat and having 45 minute conversations. Because these people are, they're being affected deeply by, you know, the isolation or the quarantine, I should say, and the restrictions placed by Department of Health and things like that, especially in our assisted living facilities. You know, we can't get in there to do physical visits. So much of our visiting is done by phone. And when family members, you know, if you have people in your audience right now that have family members in assisted living facilities, nursing homes, you know, they can relate to this because they're locked out. They can't get in there to see their loved ones. And it's really having an impact on everyone.
Your medical team, are they allowed to go in and provide care?
They are. It's restricted as well, but like our nurses can go in every 14 days because that's the regulation. Some facilities will allow, depending on the situation, will allow people to come in more frequent than that. You know, if again, it depends on what the needs are for that particular patient and family. Mm. But right now, most our social workers and all of our chaplains, you know, in the facilities, we're not able to get in. I will say, tomorrow we're having a little fun time. We have a couple facilities that we're going to visit outdoors. And most of our chaplain team are musicians. So we're going to get together with our guitars and sing some songs, you know, across the courtyard, of course, and outdoors while it's, well, when, before it hits 100, I hope. But, so it'll just be good to connect with people. We're trying to do anything we can just to bring some positivity into people's day, you know. So, so they're going to bring some patients out in the courtyard and we're going to go sing and play and do whatever we can.
You know, I've noticed that people, once they get past about 80, mm-hmm. 100 degrees isn't hot to them.
Right, right. It is to me, though.
Yeah, I can imagine it. It's hot to me. In fact, I don't know why they keep the radio station here, you know, the facilities team at Calvary. We have some equipment, you know, part of our broadcast studio. We have all these racks with all these computers and transmitters and all that kind of stuff. And it gets pretty hot, mm-hmm. but they set our thermostats here, and I feel like I'm in a meat locker sometimes. Yeah. It gets kind of cold here.
Yeah.
And everybody's telling me that. But I did notice that most elderly people kind of like it warm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a physiological type deal.
Yeah, I'm not sure the physical aspect of that, but I would concur. You know, I was talking to one of the facilities we're going to tomorrow, and said, I want to make sure that we're out there before or out of there before it gets too warm. And she said, they actually like it when it gets hot. They're out there right now, and I think it was 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just sort of melted in my chair just thinking about it. So,
Jim, I want to thank you for taking a little extra time to talk with us about the chaplaincy. Jim is the head of all the chaplains at High Desert Hospice. You're working with 4 or 5?
We have 5 full-time, including myself.
Yeah, so 4 other chaplains. And I know a couple of those guys are young guys. Not that you're not a young guy.
Yeah, well, I was once. But
you're having a chance to work with them and help them through their experience. And you've been doing this a long time in ministry,
right?
Kind of new to the hospice thing, but it sounds like it's going well.
Yeah, it's going wonderful.
Yeah. If you are interested in getting free information from High Desert Hospice, you can call them 24 hours a day, 505-585-2603. Probably a little more convenient for them if you call during working hours. Mm-hmm. I hope you don't mind me pointing that out. They have a website, a lot of great information. It's called highdeserthospice.care. And you can go to that website and get all kinds of free information about it. And again, even when people go on service, it's paid for through Medicare.
Correct.
So you might want to really think about taking advantage of the service. And Jim, you mentioned earlier that some of your clients are people that are at the end of days, but you've had others that they're around for a long time, and you've got a neat relationship and you help them and they're not really concerned about, you know, the most advanced medical treatment at the hospital. They kind of have accepted their position. And frankly, there's just things that some situations you can't help.
Right, absolutely.
So you might as well enjoy your life while you have it.
That's right.
Get out of the way the things that you need to get taken care of, especially in interpersonal relationships. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining us
today. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.